Crosstalk Radio is sponsored in part by Love Work Recording Studios. Whether you need recording or mixing and mastering services, Love Work is all about quality and customer service. Check them out at theloveworkstudios.com or give them a call at 678-953-2170.
Yo, 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 it's your boy E-Hud, man, and I'm here on Crosstalk Radio with my boy Steph Swig and Big Pudge.
Yeah. Crosstalk Radio in the building. We got Big Pudge in the house.
Steph Swig in the building.
We on the air like, here we go.
Here we go.
It ain't the same no more. People changing up their game. Oh, Lord, we on the air to let them know.
Let them know.
Got our own station now, talking about the way the world is now. On the air like, here we go,
here we go.
It ain't the same no more. People changing up their game. Oh Lord, we on the air to let them know.
Let them know.
We got our own station now, talking about the way the world is.
It's called Talk with this radio. Conversations about the high low. It's Big Pudge and Steph Swig, two bold brothers kicking down your door. Listens on topic, discussions to bring questions. We got real issues that need solutions. We got so many people that need deliverance. From ISO to the church doors, ain't no more keeping our eyes closed. All these elephants in the room, it's time to take time out with the broom. Instead of sweeping all these issues up under the rug, it's time we unify and penetrate what God's love. From spiritual to political, from astrology to science, from theologian to the Vatican, let's believe in things is happening. This ain't your average, ordinary radio show. Worldwide, blessed by the God who make the sun glow.
A show that promises to engage listeners in objective conversations and share scriptural truth that transcends one's emotions, personal opinions, and preferences as a means to provide practical solutions and answers to real issues that affect real people by discussing a variety of diverse topics and provide thought-provoking answers to questions that we thought we knew the answers to. I just want to talk about stuff people don't want to talk about nowadays. I want to address the elephants in the room. I want to be thought-provoking, open-minded.
We on the air like, here we go.
Here we go.
It ain't the same no more. People changing up their game. Oh, Lord, we on the air to let them know.
Let them know.
We got our own station now, talking about the way the world is now. On the air like, here we go.
Here we go.
It ain't the same no more. People changing up their game. Oh, Lord, we on the air to let them know.
Let them know.
Got our own station now, talking about the way the world is.
Welcome
now
to Crosstalk Radio. This is your man, Steph Swig.
This is your man, Big Pudge.
Thank you.
As always, we appreciate it. Love you. We appreciate it all day long.
Thank you. Well, we got a great topic today. I don't even know what to call this title yet, man, but we're going to talk about praise and worship. What's the difference? We're going to talk about the origin of music and the effects of it. And this was one that was real dear to Pudge's heart, so I know he's got a lot he wanted to share with you guys. And I'm just going to let him go right on into it, man. So we're going to talk about the difference between praise and worship.
All right. So, and we're going to add on top of that, we're going to talk about Lucifer.
Yeah, we got to move around a lot like we do on Crosstalk. We always start out with guidelines, but we never stick to those true guidelines. Other guideline we stick to on the show is being able to share how we really feel about things and being open and having real talk.
Right, and that Jesus is Lord.
Yes. Amen.
Yeah, but never misconstrue us for something else.
Yep.
So, all right, praise and worship. This is the whole music thing was dear to me simply because of, honestly, mumble rap. Mumble rap is the reason why.
Are you saying you're fond of mumble rap? That's
no,
why
I'm,
music
I'm heavily not fond of mumble rap. You know, mumble rap is just another dynamic of wordplay, and it's how people say dumbed down. It's like, you know, dumbed down to where you don't have to use any kind of literature at all. So I just want to take it back to, well, you know, music, what it was to God, who actually was like the origin of music, but who was pretty much the head priest over music, period. And when it comes to praise and worship, and this is more so for people who praise God and who worship God, the difference between praise and worship, because there are a difference. So I'm going to read an article that legit speaks my exact sentiments of the difference between praise and worship. And understand the difference between praise and worship can bring a new depth to the way we honor the Lord.
Throughout the Bible, the commands to praise the Lord are too numerous to mention. Angels in the heavenly host are commanded to praise the Lord. Psalms 89:5, 103 and 20, 148 and 2. Just some scriptures. All inhabitants of earth are instructed to praise the Lord. Psalms 138:4, Romans 15:11. We can praise him with singing, with shouting, with the dance, with musical instruments. You can find all of those, like with shouting, dance, musical instruments. Isaiah 12:5, Psalms 9:11, Psalms 33:1, 98:4, Psalms 154, 1 Chronicles 13:8, Psalms 108:2, 153 through 5. And I'm spitting out all these scriptures simply because I want you to be able to go back to actually read these things and don't just take what I'm saying for what it is. Go back and read it yourself so you can get the knowledge and understanding and get it in your own spirit.
Yes, sir.
Praise is the joyful recounting of all God has done for us. It is closely intertwined with thanksgiving as we offer back to God appreciation for his mighty works on our behalf. Praise is universal and can be applied to other relationships as well. We can praise our families, friends, boss, or paperboy. Praise does not require anything of us. It is merely the truthful acknowledgement of the righteous acts of another. Since God has done many wonderful deeds, he is worthy of our praise. You can find that in Psalms 18:3. Worship, however, comes from a different place within our spirits. Worship should be reserved for God alone.
Amen.
Luke 4:8. You can find that. Worship is the art of losing self in the adoration of another. Praise can be part of worship, but worship goes beyond praise. Praise is easy. Worship is not. Worship gets to the heart of who we are. To truly worship God, we must let go of our self-worship. We must be willing to humble ourselves before God, surrender every part of our lives to his control, and adore him for who he is, not just what he has done. Worship is a lifestyle, not just an accusational activity.
Occasional activity.
Yeah. My bad.
That's all right.
Jesus said, the Father is seeking those who will worship him in spirit and in truth. You can find that in John 4:23. In scripture, praise is usually presented as boisterous, joyful, and uninhibited. God invites praise of all kinds from his creation. Jesus said that if people don't praise God, even the stones will cry out. You can find that in Luke 19:40. When the Bible mentions worship, however, the tone changes. We read verses like worship the Lord and the beauty of holiness, Psalms 96:9, and come let us worship and bow down. Often worship is coupled with the act of bowing or kneeling, which shows humility and contrition?
Contrition.
2 Chronicles 29:28, Hebrews 11:21, Revelation 19:10. It is through true worship that we invite the Holy Spirit to speak to us, convict us, and comfort us. Through worship, we realign our priorities with God's and acknowledge him once more as the rightful Lord of our lives. Just as praise is intertwined with thanksgiving, worship is intertwined with surrender. It is impossible to worship God and anything else at the same time. Luke 4:8. The physical acts often associated with worship, bowing, kneeling, lifting hands, help to create the necessary attitude of humility required to real worship. Wise worship leaders know how to structure a worship service to allow participants to both praise and worship the Lord. Often service will begin with joyous praise songs and transitions to a quieter, more introspective opportunity of worship. Mm-hmm. So worship is an attitude of the heart. A person can go through the outward motions and not be worshiping. Psalms 51:16-17, Matthew 6:5-6. God sees the heart and he desires and deserves sincere, heartfelt praise and worship. So just in a nutshell, it doesn't take anything to praise God. It's just a simple acknowledgement.
Thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for my house.
Thank you for waking me up.
Anything.
You know, anything. You just acknowledging, you know, him. You just praising him and giving him acknowledgement for what he's done.
Mm-hmm.
Worship, however, requires a relationship, which is why it doesn't seem... well, I'm not going to say it doesn't seem, for some people, it's challenging to worship God.
Mm-hmm.
Like the author said in this article, people go through the motions, but, you know, it's just the motions is strictly so other people will feel like they're actually worshiping God.
Yeah.
But he actually knows where your heart is at the time. So I would always, you know, require people or just, you know, implore people to really, really, really get into a place of worship with God. And me, I'm a musical person, so I can hear a song and it's a worship song that speak how awesome he is, how anointed he is, how beautiful he is, how amazing he is, you know, and because he's holy, he's the sweetest thing that we know, his love. And stuff like that will just cause me to get into a worshiping mindset because it's talking about everything that Abba is to us in the world. It's not what he's done for me. It's just who he is. And what really keeps me close to him in a form of worship is just knowing that we are, at the end of the day, we are covered with flesh. So, you know, we live in a sinful world. And we sin every day, no matter what it is that we think we can do our best to live holy every single day, but we sin every day. We still, humans still choose the free will to not listen to God on a daily basis, mm-hmm. and his love does not waver. So that's awesome to me. It immediately makes me want to worship him because our love wavers. Or our decision making and obeying him wavers, but his love, even in our disobedience, doesn't waver. So,
amen.
You got anything you want to say on that?
Yeah, I just think, you know, worship is such a hard, not a hard topic, but it's so so many different ways you can worship, though.
Because, mm-hmm.
you know, I just want to make sure, you know, I know you said, and I agree with everything you said. It's like when you worship, people always tend to think worship always only happens at church or in music.
Oh,
you know?
No,
of course not. Worship is absolutely a lifestyle. When they're talking mm-hmm. about losing yourself and just putting yourself, you know, worshiping God, it's like there are decisions that you have to make consistently. And that's an act of worship. I'm saying, like, you denying yourself, you're worshiping God. Like, anything that you can do can be an act of worship. God says, mm-hmm. do everything as unto me. So anything you do is an act of worship. How you treat your neighbor is an act of worship. It can be.
Yeah,
Don't. If you treat like a jerk, that's not worship. But it's like patience. You know, exercising patience is worship. Exercising faith is a worship mode. You know, all these things that you have to get out of your flesh to do is an act of worship.
Right.
You know, when you're in traffic or that person cuts you off and you don't cuss them out, instead you set up a praise for them or a blessing or a prayer for them, that's an act of worship.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I just think people don't really gather the fact that even showing up to work on time with a pleasant attitude is an act of worship. Everything you do is supposed to be an act of worship. We don't always, we fall short in that area a lot of time. How we deal with our kids, how, you know, how we even eat, it can be an act of worship. Yeah. I mean, everything you do, you're supposed to do as unto God. You mean, so basically what I'm getting at, everybody, you know, an act of worship is basically, it's not even basically, it's giving God your absolute best.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, that's getting out your comfort zone. It's not being dictated by the flesh. It's doing your absolute best. Because we know when it comes to doing stuff for God, our flesh a lot of times want to go against us.
Right.
You know, we're tired. We don't want to go to church. We're tired. We don't want to go minister to this person. We don't want to go talk to this person because they said something last week. Whatever. It's a lot of million different things.
Right.
You know, your boss is a jerk, so you don't want to honor your boss. And you want to cuss him out. You know, those... We're not responsible for what people do or say to us. We're responsible about who we represent. We're held accountable by that.
Right.
You know, so we have to operate in a mindset of worship and honoring God.
Right.
I think that the easiest thing to do to sum up praise and worship, I think praise is acknowledging God for what he has done. I think worship is acknowledging God for who he is.
In a nutshell.
Yeah.
In a nutshell, that's pretty much what it is.
Exactly. But it's for whatever reason, people just think you worship it. Worship is putting your hands up and praising God during the worship service at church. That's a part of it, too.
Right.
But that's not it's so much bigger than that. I just want everybody to know the vastness of worship.
There you go.
The way you wake up is worship.
Thank you, Lord, for waking me up. You get up and you do your job, and, you know, you just, everything you do, like, if you lay in the bed long, you should, that, you know, I try to get up earlier. It's not, I don't try to get up as early as I can. I try to get up as soon as I wake up, because my point is,
how you corrected that.
Yeah, because the point is, you know, when our alarm goes off, you know, we like to roll over and do whatever, but, you know, I'm just really fighting with this lately, because it's like, I realize that time waits for no man. And I realize we only have a certain amount of time on this planet. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to spend a moment just being lazy where God has already assigned me something to do, or I need to be in an active place so I can serve the Lord.
Right.
It could be somebody I need to pray for. It could be somewhere I need to be. It, you know, and a lot of times, like, and your day just goes better when you get somewhere a lot earlier. So I'm like, dang, I used to get to work 5 minutes early, two minutes early. And that's a stressful ride.
Right.
You know, or I stay in the bed. Like, I got time. I get out and my car won't crank. You know, it's like, it's all kinds of stuff. Like, it's just so much
you
can do.
Right.
And I just think, you know, anything we can do to bring honor and glory to the Father, we got to do it. You know, I want people to be proud of. I want people to ask me, why do I do things so differently? Like Steph Curry is a basketball player.
Yeah.
And all he does is share his faith. And, you know, just by how he plays, as an act of worship.
Right.
You know, when people ask him about, you know, I don't think people have to ask him about his faith. He tells people his faith.
Right.
But, you know, he has a different mindset than a lot of the ball players. So it could cause people to ask him about, yo, why you go so hard? You know, and he'll tell people. And that's also a witness opportunity. So you can be excellent, seek to be your best version of yourself, and then it brings your Father glory. And also brings, I think it brings about more witnessing opportunities. Now, if you tell somebody you honor the Most High, you live and you sold out to Christ Jesus, created the universe, and then you go to work with a horrible attitude, that makes your Father look, that's embarrassing.
It does.
You know what I'm saying? So let's make sure we step it up, people, and just do our best and be the best version of ourselves that we can to bring God glory. And I didn't mean to preach to everybody, but hey, this is Crosstalk. And me and Pudge already said, like, yo, the Holy Spirit lead us on this one too. We just go in.
Right.
So anyway, you got anything before we move on, man?
Nah, man, we can move on to the next one.
All right, so now we're gonna talk about music. Like I said, this is all, I supported Pudge on this, man, because I didn't, you know, I'm not really I'm into music, but I'm not a musician, and I don't really listen to mumble rap, so it's not a real issue to me. But whatever reason, it connected with him on a level that he's very passionate about.
Yeah, you know. I don't listen to mumble rap, but I have four teenage kids, and, you know, it doesn't matter what I like or what I've instilled in them, their era, that's what kids, that's their style of music. So I knock it, because I do knock it. I'm not going to front like I don't. However, I don't ban my kids from not listening to it. I mean, I'm staying knowledgeable of what I'm looking at it as a much bigger picture. I see where music came from. I see what it was like before I was born, and I see what. And I'm strictly meaning I'm strictly talking about hip hop. I see where it is now, and it's just gotten dumber and dumber and dumber lyrically, to where you know. I just thank God that I have the parents that I have, and I was able to teach my kids that lyricism is what makes your music. You know what I'm saying?
It does.
Your lyrics is what enhances the actual beat of the music. So you don't ever want to dumb down your lyricism, because that's what the world is actually doing. Mm-hmm. But it's actually, you know, to me, a lot of things are subliminal. And this whole mumble rap thing is, it's like, you know, it's pretty much, you really don't. Old folks used to have issues with people like me rapping, and I'm making sense. I'm talking clear.
Yeah.
You know, but it's just the fact that I'm rapping to an up-tempo beat.
Yeah.
Now, a brother like me I can even understand when people like Twista is rapping.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody rapping fast and whatnot, but it's like the mumble rap, I can hear what they're saying.
Yeah.
But it's how it's projected. It's the way you sound. You know what I'm saying? It's almost like it's pretty much training our youth that you don't have to have any kind of literature or education at all to actually rap. And there's a lot of rappers that are educated, but you wouldn't know they were by the way they sound. So the praise and worship, that's been in my spirit, because that was more so for people who are saved. Let me just say that, you know, who needed to know the difference between praise and worship. Music is a whole, this music with, you know, and so, we can just dive right on
into that. So what it is, y'all getting a double episode. That's what y'all get. Y'all getting two different topics on one episode.
Right.
That's strategic today.
Right.
So I don't care how it came about with Pudge Drop. You know, Holy Spirit has a way of dropping stuff in us, and we'll just go with it, because apparently, you know, people need to hear this. stuff right here.
They do.
And I want to just talk about where music came from, because I honestly never thought about where music came from until I was studying this information. Like, mm-hmm. we just enjoy it and, you know, listen to it, dance to it, you know, whatever. But I never ever thought about where music came from.
Right.
Never did. And you know, I'm sure a lot of people that listen to this podcast don't know where it came from, but you're about to find out. Whether you believe it or not, I'm going to tell, you know, I'm going to give you the information. Music came from God. Like, it's simple, but music existed before God laid the foundations of the earth. I did not know that. I didn't think about that. So I'm going to give you some information, and like Yusuf does or Pudge does, I'm going to give you some scriptures.
Okay.
So here it is right here. So when God was talking to Job, putting the wise man in his place in comparison to the creative feats of God Almighty, he asked a question that gives insight to history before earth's creation. Were thou, this is the scripture right here, where wast thou when I laid the foundation of the earth, God asked, when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. So that means they were singing in heaven. What I didn't know.
What you didn't know, let's start right there. Read the scripture again.
It's the King James Version.
No. You said a name. You said something. Now I want to ask you a question. Go ahead.
Morning stars sing together. Morning.
Okay. Do you know who Morning Star is?
I know. You talking about this?
Yeah, tell the world. Tell the world. Just to,
come on, man. This is my segment.
I'm sorry.
Where was thou when I laid the foundation of the earth? God asked, when the morning stars, plural, sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Job 38, 4 through 7. All right. Then also God sang. I never thought of God singing. Makes sense, though.
Uh-huh.
This reveals that God created angels before he created earth, and they witnessed this magnificent moment. Then they shouted for joy, and they were singing. Consider how sound exists in a spirit room. Ezekiel heard the noise of the great cherubim, Ezekiel 1:24. The book of Revelation records the lyrics of the angels shouting and singing around God's heavenly throne, not to mention that they were playing instruments in the spiritual dimension.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. The Bible reveals that God sings in Zephaniah 3:17. He has always existed without beginning of days or end of lives. Hebrews 7:3. I'm going to read y'all. Can you pull up Zephaniah 3:17? Because I read it earlier. I meant to actually have the scripture before I got to this point, if you don't mind. Zephaniah 3:17. But it says, God always existed without beginning days or end of life. The question then arises, since God has always existed, wouldn't his attributes, his eyes, his hairs, his hand, and his voice have always existed as well? And his infinite wisdom, Proverbs 8:22. Surely, therefore, music, at our very least, the capacity for music has always existed. So music has always existed.
You said 7:9 what?
3:17.
There is no 17.
Zephaniah?
Oh, sorry. Yes, sir.
Like, I just read it.
I'm in Zechariah. I'm sorry.
Yeah, Zephaniah. Now, there was a moment when music took on a more institutionalized form. That was with the creation of angels. In them, God created innate musical ability. The chief of this angelic and musical creation was the archangel Lucifer, also known as the morning star. That's where Pudge wanted me to go with that.
Yeah.
So while he's pulling that up, we will talk a little bit about Lucifer's music. If y'all don't know who Lucifer is, people saved and unsaved, Lucifer is the fallen angel who became Satan once he hit the ground. And the reason, I think the Bible talks about it a little bit, it said he was beautiful, but he became prideful. Am I right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, his pride. I mean, the scriptures that Isaiah
Isaiah something.
Isaiah 14:11-14. This when I think it was God that was talking about how he how his pride and everything got him. Like, he pretty much is saying, like, you had everything.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you had you were above all the angels.
Yeah.
You were the closest to me, and that still wasn't good enough for you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you wanted the actual throne.
Mm-hmm. And because of that, he got cast out of heaven.
I'm paraphrasing, saying he wanted the throne,
mm-hmm.
you know, just pretty bad. But that's what God was saying. He pretty much had everything. I mean, he was the author of, God is the author of music. He was the head chief. He was the head priest.
Yeah, chief musician.
He was the one that played for God.
Mm-hmm.
No, he was the instructor of all music. And then in the one scripture, is either Ezekiel or Isaiah, when his cat, when it specifically says when he was casted out, all of his gifts were casted out with him. Mm-hmm. Which means just because he was casted out did not mean God took away
his gift of music.
Mm-hmm. So and just fast forward that to 2018 when it comes
to music. We got
to
get right into that.
I have the scripture.
All right, go ahead and read it.
For the Lord your God is living among you. He is a mighty savior. He will take delight in you with gladness, with his love. He will calm all your fears. He will rejoice over you with joyful songs.
Yeah. So God sings, people. Did not know that. That's dope.
That is dope.
All right. So Lucifer's music. I'm reading. I'm basing this on the scripture, Ezekiel 28, 12 through 13. And it says, "Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus and say unto him, thus saith the Lord God, thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty." They always talk about Lucifer being beautiful. Mm-hmm. "Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God, every precious stone that was covering thy sardis, topaz, and the diamond." And they naming different stones here.
Yeah.
"And the workmanship of these and the pipes was prepared in the day and thou was created. I don't know what that means right there. I think they're talking about when Lucifer was created. Was that what that was?
That's why you don't read that King James was them.
I know. That threw me off. Man. But either way, Lucifer was a beautiful angel in heaven. He was God's chief musician. And because of his pride, he got kicked out of heaven.
Let me at least read.
You got the scripture?
Thank
you. 28.
Well, I'm gonna just read from 30 because I'm saying that's why I took out that by the same article. I just took the other ones out.
Good.
King James
It threw me off. Go ahead,
right. So I'm gonna start after all the jewels and gems they name. Mm-hmm. All beautifully crafted for you and set in the finest gold. Now this is Ezekiel, but Is this God talking about Satan before he got casted out?
I believe so.
Is this how I ordain and anoint to you as the mighty angelic guardian? You had access to the holy mountain of God and walked among the stones of fire. You were blameless in all you did from the day you were created until the day evil was found in you. You're rich. Commerce led you to violence and you sin. So I banished you in disgrace from the mountain of God. I expelled you, O mighty guardian, from your place among the stones of fire.
That's exactly what that was. I'm glad you pulled that up, man, because I didn't like that.
And I wanted people to get clarity on that actual scripture.
Do. Yeah. I'm glad you got that. That's dope. And that's the scripture you talked about earlier when you were talking about when you got kicked out.
Yeah.
All right, so let's talk a little bit more because this is something I just want to share with y'all because I always like it when spiritual meets science and it supports it. I love that. So after God created angels, he created the material universe. Did you know that music was built into this physical realm? I'm going to prove that to you in a minute. The Hebrews have long understood the idea of the harmony of the spheres. The harmony refers to the planets actually being... I'm going to spell this word. It's spelled A-N-A-L-O-G-O-U-S. Analogist to each other as musical pitches. Philosophically, in the sense that their distances held the same ratios as between pleasing musical intervals, and literally in the sense that the planets or spheres resounded in actual tones.
Mm.
This belief is now attributed to Pythagoras. He was a philosopher. Aristotle said that to the Pythagoreans, the whole heaven was a musical scale and number. Also philosopher.
Mm-hmm.
In his book, Music of the Spheres, science writer Jamie James explained, "Here in our first encounter with the concept of the musical universe, it is clear that the Pythagoreans did not simply discern congruities among number and music in the cosmos. They identified them. Music was number and the cosmos was music. The Pythagoreans conceived of the cosmos, a vast lyre with crystal spheres in the place of strings. The spheres were known to be spaced according to the same ratios that existed between frequencies and the musical scale." That's kind of deep.
That is.
Because I always wonder how we could take sound and make notes, and how we could take sound and draw it on paper, and people who understand how to read music know how to put it together and compose stuff like that. That's always fascinating to me. But all right, so back to that. So that's that right there, okay? So the science thing, I just highlighted this just because it was dope when I read it earlier. It says, science has also discovered heavenly music bellowed out by the sun's atmosphere.
Now, I love that. Heavenly music.
And that still supports everything they just said about the spheres and the heavens and all that stuff right now. But anyway, these frequencies at a thousandth of a hertz are too low for human ears to hear. We can hear between 20 and 20,000 hertz. The sun's corona carry magnetic sound waves similar to those of musical instruments. All right. Explosive events at the sun's surface appear to trigger acoustic waves that bounce back and forth between both ends of the loops, a phenomenon known as a standing wave. You can link this up on thespace.com. Standing waves are exactly the same waves you see on a guitar string. Robertus von Weisenberg of the Solar Physics and Space Plasma Research Center at the University of Sheffield said those things. So the point being, everything creates music, at least the heavens do, and in space it does. Mm-hmm. And it says, by flying through space, celestial bodies are emitting sound. Deeper study of the heavens indicates that these sounds are working together much like a musical composition. Now, I'm not
going to... Musical composition.
When I read that stuff, man, I know I'm a believer, you're a believer, but... And it just supports, to me, it just supports God's existence, God's divine plan. Mm-hmm. And I'm not the one... I am the one that will take shots at people, but I'm not going to do that. I'm just being real. That's not right, but I am that type of person.
Right.
But
right.
I will say, and I've heard this before, I think it takes more faith to be an atheist than it does to be a believer. Because you have been presented with all this information, and you still like, nah, you know, God doesn't exist. And to believe in the Big Bang Theory, to believe this came out of nothing and with no design to spontaneous combustion for the sake of combusting, mm-hmm. and we have planets that produce music between each other and the sound waves, musical notes that's working in harmony, that's too many. Yeah. That's too many coincidences for it to not... Now, you can believe in different things about God, but I'm just saying, strictly, like, I can't see how people don't believe in God. I can't see how you can study science
right
and be an atheist at the same time.
Right. Right.
And see how much stuff it takes just for life to exist. Yeah. There's so many things for life to exist. And then more and more I read about stuff like this. Mm-hmm. The Bible already says this stuff, though. The Bible already told you how that worked. And then you got science. They discovered this in 2007. Mm-hmm. The Bible already told you. But
I already told you.
The Bible was... When was the Bible written, Pudge? Like, what? When was the Bible written?
I don't even know.
It don't even matter. But we'll just say... But in the 1600s was the first one published. I think the 1600s, maybe before that. I can't remember. No, because Christopher Columbus had a Bible.
Yeah.
I guess it depends on what Bible you talk about. But either way, go.
Yeah, because you have the Egyptian Bible.
Then you got the scrolls, too. Yeah. Either way, we'll just say, just for sake of argument, 600 years ago. Mm-hmm. And everybody always want to try to discount the Bible, and then y'all still catching up to what the Bible already told you 2,000 years later. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Hundreds of years later. So y'all might want to rethink your views on the Bible. I'm just saying. Right. But science discovered heavenly music. This is science. This is not a Christian article.
Right.
It's not a religious article.
Right.
So when you start thinking like science explains everything, it doesn't, but this confirms it. Like it's at least you can at least start the conversation like, okay, intelligent design. Because it wasn't just a spontaneous combustion that just all stuff randomly happened. Life started, all stuff musical between the stars and all this stuff. That's just too much. Mm-hmm. Too much. It takes much more effort to see all this information and say there's no God than to say there's a God.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It's just crazy. But anyway, I'm moving on, man. That's all I got on that, but I'm just thinking that I didn't know that till today. You know? I didn't know that about the musical harmony that we can't pick up. So it's music always being broadcast.
Yeah, yeah.
And that tells me that music is very important. Yeah. And music is, I know music is important, but I mean, I'm thinking, dang, it's designed, it's written to the cosmos. God programmed the star and the moons and all this, not the moon, stars.
He created everything. Yeah. So, I mean, he always has his end game is always a much bigger plan.
Of course, of course.
So, I want to bring it back to Lucifer. who is now, Lucifer meaning morning star, but who was now, you know, considered Beelzebub, Satan, the devil. When God gives you a gift, he doesn't take it away. Mm-hmm. You have the free will to be obedient and do what he wants you to do for his kingdom or not. So when he cast Lucifer out of heaven, his gift remained with him. He's still the head priest of music. So bring that down to now in today's time. Since he got here, he pretty much was, and I'm gonna read, I want to read Isaiah 14:11-14. And it better help what I'm trying to say. This is where your pumped and fine music led you, Babylon, to your underworld private chambers. A king-sized mattress of maggots for repulse and a quilt of crawling worms for warmth. Where they come down, this old Babylon, day star, son of dawn. Flat on your face in the underworld mud, you famous for flattening nations. You said to yourself, I'll climb to heaven, I'll set my throne over the stars of God. I'll run the assembly of angels that meets on sacred Mount Zephon. I'll climb to the top of the clouds, I'll take over as king of the universe. So, that pretty much is, and this is what it appears to be like, this is what Lucifer has succumbed to after being casted out of heaven. Like, you chose this earth and all of its ugliness over the crown because you wanted more. So what does the devil do to infuse people, to subliminally get people to hate, to get people to want to steal, kill, and destroy? It's the music.
Mm-hmm.
There's ways where he can keep you depressed. He can keep you lonely. Just think about it. Why is it that when you go through a breakup, you can't come out of it? And I'm not going to say it's because of what you're listening to, but when you're listening to it, when you're going through a breakup, the last thing you need to be listening to is all breakup songs.
Mm-hmm.
A whole bunch of love songs reminiscing about when you were in love. Those are the type of music. And I'm not saying that's demonic at all. I'm simply saying how music has a life force and an energy to it, to where it can help you in certain areas. It can keep you in certain areas. It can break you free from certain areas, you know, and it could damage you in a lot of areas. So there's a lot. So you have to think about it, like, do the opposite. Like, if I just had a hard day's work, you know, and I'm just really, really tired, the last thing I want to listen to when I come home is talking about somebody who had a hard day's work and they tired. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I want to hear some upbeat. I want to hear mm-hmm. something that's joyful to change my whole mood of how I'm already feeling. If I want to wind down, I listen to jazz music. It's soothing.
Yeah.
You know, so you have music for now, Satan still has power over music. So he still infuses his subliminal messages, what he lives for, and what he kills, steal, and destroy. Those messages are some subliminal, some are just outright, you know, just blunt, and a lot of music. Rap, there's a lot of that in a lot of rap music. So, you know, and rap is the era that I come from, but it is what it is. It's not just in rap music, you know, it's in heavy metal. Punk rock, mm-hmm. it's in R&B. If you ask me, it's pretty much in every genre of music. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not going to say it's in Christian music, you know what I'm saying? However, some subliminal messages have been thrown in there as well.
Yeah.
So, I mean, his whole idea is that his objective is to kill, steal, and destroy, and he's the head priest of music. So what tool do you think he's going to use?
He's going to use music.
Right.
And before we get any further, because I got some information on that, or stuff I want to share on that. But as he was talking, I'm just thinking, like, you know, there's people who don't believe music influences. And I don't, you know, I was one of the people who didn't think music influences people to kill people. But everybody has different triggers. Everybody has different things. And some music does make you want to do things.
Mm-hmm.
Hands down, whether it's hip-hop, whether it's R&B. because it's like he just, like you just clearly pointed out, I just want people to realize that music, it's a fact that music does change moods and it does influence. If it changes your mood, it does influence.
It does.
It's like, think about it. You working out at the gym. You're not going to put on some Al Green to work out to. You know, you're not going to put on jazz music to work out to. You're going to put on something that's kind of high octane, heavy, trying to push you through.
Right.
And in the same essence, some people might do this, but if you're married and you're going to lay your wife down and you're going to make love to her, you're typically not going to put on some Mahalia Jackson or some gospel. You might want to put, then you might want to put on an Al Green.
Right.
Or something like that, you know. So it's just it's stuff like that. Like you said, but if you think about it, you know, sad music has very powerful because it can make you happy, it can make you sad. Because sometimes you listen, you can cry and boohoo.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I just want y'all to really understand that music is very powerful. So it's not far fetched that the enemy would use that as a tactic to get you off your game or distract you or kill, steal, or destroy. Mm-hmm. If that's very influential, think about how influential music is, though. Think about these sold out concerts. People, no matter what they're talking about, people go to these concerts, people passing out and crying because it's because it's a person who can make music really well.
Yeah.
They have, these people who are musicians have, I want to say, an ungodly, unrealistic amount of power over people. Like, how is it that because I'm a famous celebrity, I play music, you can't stand to be in my presence without passing out?
Yeah.
And crying. So I used to see that. And I'm not judging, I'm just saying, like, I used to watch some Michael Jackson concerts on TV, and the little girls be crying, they passing out in the cabin to carry him out. Like, it almost, if you didn't know what was happening, it would almost look like a church revival with people falling out.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so that's how powerful music is. So don't underestimate the power of influence or how powerful music is.
I mean, to the point where you have people that go get tattoos of their favorite artists, you know, on their body or one of their sayings or their symbols or whatever. Yeah. You know, some people actually committed suicide when Michael Jackson died.
Wow, that's what I'm saying. That's a powerful influence.
Yes, that is. It's to where you feel like you don't want to live anymore because a superstar that you, I'm assuming that you had to be praising, just is not here anymore. That's huge. That's very huge.
So that's a level of influence. And music is everywhere. If you think about it, you watch commercial, music is in the commercials. You watch TV, music is... I mean, I've never seen a movie that didn't have a sound. Like far as music or a score in the background.
Yeah, yeah.
I've seen movies when they took it out to show you the difference. But music adds to every situation. It changes situations. Like, I watched this... I'm a movie fan, so I watched Jaws. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the dunna, dunna. They showed that. And they showed a clip of, and it makes it scary.
Uh-huh.
But they showed a clip of it without that. It just looked weird. It's funny. It's like just a shark killing people. People moving and running. But it was nothing scary about. But it's like, I tell you, that music.
Yeah, it adds an effect to it.
Yeah, adds an effect to it.
Right.
So back to the influence. I feel like I've done a great job of defending the fact that music does influence people. It does inspire people. It does change your mood, and it is an influence. Right? How much of an influence it is in your life depends on you.
Right, and if you have a relationship with God, and you stay attached to that, certain songs you hear, your spirit won't even allow you to keep listening to it.
Is this a Jay-Z rant coming on?
No, not a Jay-Z rant at all.
Okay.
I'm just saying, overall, it's like, it's like when we was naming certain quotes from certain songs that we used to listen to back in the day.
I won't talk about that.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, it's those things, like, somebody who I honestly look up to is, you know, I respect him to the utmost is DMX, simply because he's been one person that's openly shown his struggle, you know, between the God in him and Damien. That's just what he called him.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, said Damien is it. The first song he put out was called Damien, you know what I'm saying? And that's that song where he talking about the evil side of him. And, you know, and then at the end of the album, you know, and then every album he got like a poem and it's a song, you know what I'm saying, dedicated to God. Mm-hmm. But, you know, he said on so many levels he's called to preach. It's a struggle, you know.
Yeah.
But his music, it influences the mess out of people. Like, people still respect him as being somebody who is a man that says he loved Jesus Christ. Like, he says straight up, like, Jesus is Lord, but you'll still hear him cussing and going off and, you know what I'm saying, talking about a lot of gangster stuff. And it's like,
You can see his struggle.
Yeah, you can see his struggle. And the thing about this, I think he has more fans because of how raw he honestly is instead of losing fans. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, I hate to say it, but if he was just like in this in the Christian genre, he would have been shamed or shunned already, you know, mm-hmm. simply for just being open and honest about his actual struggle. Mm-hmm. You know, so I'm like a lot of saved folks who like to ridicule and judge could learn from a lot of unsaved people. Honestly,
I agree. I think I agree with you, and I think DMX is a light in that world, though. Like, I mean, mm-hmm. we talked about it before. I was watching the concert, and it was Lil Kim, Puff Daddy,
and he prayed.
Asked
him to pray. Yeah, and he ended the prayer in Jesus' name. Everybody say amen.
Amen. Yo,
you know, like, what I'm saying? That's powerful. That's powerful, especially when and everybody's like, never mind this brother's struggle. He got a relationship with God. When he prays, it's powerful, and everybody can feel it.
And
when
it's
he
sincere.
Prays.
It's very sincere.
I think most of all, his sincerity is what really, because when you see him on stage, 50,000 people, you know what I'm saying? And he got everybody quiet to hear him pray.
Mm-hmm.
That's monumental.
They expecting it, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And he always makes sure that's the last song he do at every concert. Mm-hmm. You know, it's one of them songs.
Yeah, he talked about that in an interview I was watching recently. Yeah. But yeah, that's dope.
So that's somebody that and that, to me, that's one person that's in the actual you know, that's always been inside of the secular world, that's kind of like combating mm-hmm. that industry right there.
Exactly.
You know, it's just the actual musical industry seems to have gotten a lot worse,
darker.
Darker is a much better word to use. Gotten a lot darker, and you have people. Like Molly Music, like Lecrae, mm-hmm. you know, saying that are that light in that realm.
Exactly.
You know, and instead of all of the body of Christ supporting them,
they don't.
You have some that's supporting them, still loving them. You know, you have mm-hmm. a lot of people that shun them and not even realizing, like, have you asked yourself what has God told you what his plan is for them and to be that light in that darkness? For you to actually shun them and their music, because we ain't got that many that's in the secular realm that's actually shining some form of a light. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, music is very dark, and back to subliminal messages though, it's like I can't see how music doesn't influence people to do certain things. Especially I'm not gonna say you're weak minded if you're influenced by it, but it's like you think about, you know, what they're saying in music, like mm-hmm. they say stuff in music. That's very, very demonic at times. And it's stuff that people will go along and sing with.
Mm-hmm.
And it's stuff like you just feeding yourself the stuff. Like what you feed, it does shape your mindset of women. It does shape your mindset how you see things. It does shape your mindset how you see certain people.
Right.
It does.
Right.
You know,
right.
I can't deny that. It didn't shape how I saw a woman. It shaped how I saw sex or how I saw, you know, having sex with women. Like, you know, they have, you know, they don't talk about being married to one woman. They talk about, you know, being married. They don't talk about being married too much, but they talk about having sex with any woman you can have.
There you go. They don't talk about being married too much. Right.
So in high school, you know, you're hearing all this stuff. So you're thinking you're the man because you're sleeping around with a bunch of different women and you know,
right.
It's the opposite, really.
Right,
but music talked about it. It was no positive music telling you, yo, to be married, stay married, honor your woman, nothing like that.
Right,
they
call
it bitches and hoes and all this other stuff.
Exactly.
And that's how you saw women. That's how you treated them. And they call, and that's how, and that name became synonymous with women. That's
right.
Crazy. But it's like, if you think about a lot of rap songs, a lot, you say stuff in those songs, listen to those songs that you normally wouldn't say in a conversation. If you heard someone else say it to you in a conversation, you're like,
you'd be looking crazy.
You're like, hold up, what?
Yeah, exactly.
What?
Exactly.
So you really think about what you're saying I'm just be who I am. I'm trying to preach to you. Listen, life and death are in the power of the tongue. That's what the Bible says. So what you speak, you give life to. And that's actually been proven scientifically.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're speaking on these things and these songs, it does change situations. It does change atmospheres.
It does.
Again, like I said, you think about just changing mood. You play sad music, it will bring the atmosphere down. You break happy music, it will change mm-hmm. the atmosphere. But when you put these words out there, words do have power.
And whether they being, were you speaking them or were you singing them or rapping them, they still have that power.
You know? And it's like, these songs got you talking about killing your brother. You know, it's got you singing along. Like, if you someone walked up to you and told you some of the lyrics, like, if they just read you the lyrics in a regular conversation, you probably wouldn't say that.
Crazy.
And it's like, I'm gonna say this, though. It's like, we was talking about the song we was talking about earlier. Like, before I was saved, I listened to rap. I still listen to rap now, but it's like, before I was saved, so it wasn't like I was just coming at it from a Christian standpoint, where Pudge was piggybacking on what Pudge said earlier. It's like, you know, sometimes it just don't greet your spirit anyway. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't saved when I listened to Wu-Tang songs and Biggie songs and stuff like that, but there's some things they said in their songs that made me stop, like, yo, that's too far.
Right.
Too far.
Right.
And I'm not saying, let me explain this. I'm a huge Wu-Tang fan to this day.
Right.
I was a huge Wu-Tang fan back in that day.
Right.
Same thing with Biggie. But Biggie had a song. I can't tell you the song. I can tell you the lyric because it stood out. And he literally said, effing little kids in their ass and throw them over the bridge. Now, if somebody told you that, you ready to call the cops, you ready to fight them.
Right.
Think about that. Think about that for a second.
You're not going to be like, oh, for real? That's dope.
Yeah. So think about it. So you're in the concert and he sings a song. Are you singing that part of the song? Are you just stopping that? You know what I'm saying? Think about it.
Like, how do you address that part of the song?
And so it's several songs. So it's not like hip hop just got to the point where it was dark. It was darkness in it from the start. I'm not saying it was created out of dark. I'm saying it was still darkness in it even in the earlier days.
Yeah.
But it's more so now. But I'm saying that's a verse in a song of arguably one of the greatest rappers that's ever existed in a lot of people's opinions.
Yeah.
And that's a lyric in this song.
Yeah.
Podcast Unquestionable lyrics. Like I said earlier, I'm a huge Wu-Tang fan. Ghostface album, I think it's the Iron Man album. It's a song on there where he says, Slap box with Jesus, lick shots at Joseph. I have no idea what it means, but it sounds, even back then, it's like, yo, what? You slap box with Jesus? You don't play with Jesus. That's what I'm thinking in my mind. I wasn't even saying, but it's like, that's just blatantly, that's demonic.
Right.
But people don't realize demonic is anything that's anti-Christ. It doesn't mean it's just going to say, I'm demonic, you know, kill your neighbor, sacrifice your cat. It means, demonic is anti-Christ, anti-God. And so anti means anything that's contrary or against.
Right.
So he could just talk about sleeping around, that could be demonic. You know, talk about shooting his dude because he shot you, that's unforgiveness. That's still demonic mindsets.
Right.
It's deep, right? But blatantly though, he says slap box with Jesus, lick shots at Joseph. Like, huh? You had something that somebody said. What was talking about?
You actually knew the verse, Biggie.
He said, "When I die, F it, I want to go to hell. I don't want to go to heaven. I'm a piece of hold on. When I die, I want to go to hell. I'm a piece of S. It ain't hard to F and tell." I don't want to go to heaven with the goody goodies. I like being dressed in black with dark boots and dark hoodies, something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like he's saying he wants to go to hell when he dies.
And I mean, there's no way. Like I was telling you earlier. I remember when it hit me at the train station as a youngin' when that song hit me, and I was like, I can't rap that part.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like that. There's nothing you just said. I actually want to do. I never felt like I wanted to go to hell.
Yeah, okay. I understand what he meant in the song. He said he felt like he wasn't good enough to go to get to heaven. I get that, but the point
is, I get feel like you're not good enough, but I still don't want to go to
hell. I know, but listen. If someone said that to you in a conversation, if I came up to you and said that in a conversation, when I die, I don't want to go to heaven, I want to go to hell. If you just said something to me then, you'd be mad concerned, like, yo, what's that ain't right?
Yeah. I'll be trying to figure out what's wrong.
Well, yeah, what's wrong?
You know what I'm saying? Because, like, something is not right. You know, why we need to talk to somebody.
Exactly. But there's thousands of lyrics and songs that are questionable or just straight not even questionable. They're blatantly anti-Christ or anti-anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, anti-life. Not just anti-Christ, anti-life at times, you know? Everything, you know, like you said, the devil came to kill, steal, and destroy. When you got songs bragging on what kind of drugs you use, you know, that's killing yourself.
Yeah.
But you know, like I said before, you know, when I grew up, rappers were drug dealers. They bragged on how much drugs they sold. Mm-hmm. Now the generation is coming up with people who actually bought the drugs, and it's sad.
Wow.
I don't condone selling drugs. I don't condone talking, you know, bragging on selling drugs, but at the same time. You know, we know that's poisoning. We know it kills each other. But why we sell it? So, again, you see the devil's plan play out. Kill, steal, and destroy. So, that's all I got on that, y'all. Like I said, I done preached to you enough about how the music influences, the demonic influence in music. So be careful what you listen to and know that music is very powerful. Be careful what you say.
Yeah. Definitely be careful what you let inside your ear loops, because some stuff you can't handle even though you think you can.
Yeah.
Be mindful of what kind of mood that you're actually in, mm-hmm. and the music that you're playing. It might be the reason why you can't get out of that mood, or it might be a reason why your mood shifted. You know, just always just be mindful. And then when it comes to praise and worship, you know, you can praise God at the drop of a hat. You can also worship him at the drop of a hat as well. But, you know, in order to worship him, it requires to have a real surrendering, like, relationship with him. So I would always, you know, encourage people to always have a relationship with him when if in the form of worship, because mm-hmm. it keeps you humble. Mm-hmm. It keeps you humble, and it keeps you in a place where even when you see people with different issues and whatnot, you immediately, instead of before you judge them, you immediately think about your own issues you have. Mm-hmm. And then you find out you ain't judging them no more because you too caught up with what you got going on with mm-hmm. your own issues. And then you find yourself worshiping God again, thanking him for loving you because of your own issues.
Imperfect people can't judge imperfect people. I'm sorry. Right. We're all imperfect, so we can't judge anybody.
Right, right.
I agree. But anyway, man, you got anything else?
Nah, man, I'm good.
All right, so my closing
shout-outs?
Yeah, man, my closing remarks before I get the shout-outs, though. Bad. So make sure y'all check us out. We're on every Monday. Crosstalk.podcast.gmail if you want to holler at us. Crosstalkpodcast@gmail.com. Hit us up if you have any questions, concerns, comments, what you like about the show, what you don't like about the show. We love feedback. I don't care what kind of feedback it is. Just keep it respectful.
Right.
But like I said, we don't do the show for us. We do it for y'all. So let us know what we can do to make it better. And if you want to hear different, what topics you want to hear, because we love talking about different things outside mm-hmm. of the box. Mm-hmm. We talked about aliens. We talked about masturbation. We talked about Christian smoking weed. Yeah, we talked about a lot of stuff. So if you missed those episodes, they were dope episodes. So check us out. We this is our 46th episode.
That's 46th
what's up. Episode, that's what's y'all. Up. And hit us up or check us out at crosstalk.buzzsprout.com. That's our actual site where you can go to listen to any of our episodes, or you can go to iTunes or TuneIn Radio. Those are all apps for Apple, and well, TuneIn's for Apple mm-hmm. or any of them, and then you got iTunes. But either way, we're still Crosstalk with a K-K-R-O-S-S Talk at any of those sites. You can Google us, you can find us wherever you want to find us. You can call Yusuf. His number is I'm playing. But make sure you just hit us up, man. Tell people about us, man. So I just want to say real quick, thank y'all for thank everybody for listening to us. Let's get these shout outs out real quick. Shout outs to my mom down in Great Georgia.
Mom.
Shout out to the wife who checks us out. Shout out to my daughter November who keeps on reminding me to give her a shout out because she's been telling her friends and posting it and promoting it. So she's like, I think she's like our number one Crosstalk
promoter. Appreciate that, November.
Thank you, November. Thank you, Brandy, for listening. Thank you, Alicia, out in Conyers. Thank you, Atlanta. Thank you, Washington, D.C., for tuning in.
Appreciate you.
Minneapolis, Minnesota tuned in. Lawrenceville, Georgia tuned in. Shout out to Tokyo. Tokyo, Japan.
Tokyo, we love you.
Shout out to Stone Mountain. Shout out to Graysonville, Maryland. A big shout out to Loveworks Studios who hooks us up with the editing and the uploads and all that stuff. He does all of our work. So the sound quality you hear, if you're loving it, hit him up, because I know it's dope sound quality. Shout out to our future listeners. Because I know these listeners that are, we shout out going to tell your brothers, your sisters, your cousins, your neighbors, your preachers, and everybody else about us. You're going to have them listen to us, your co-workers, your grocery store clerks, whatever. Oh, last but not least, I don't know how to pronounce the name of the city, so I'm going to spell it. It's going to be J-A-W-A-L-A-K-H-E-L. And I will pronounce that Jawakiel. But the country that it is in is Nepal. Shout out to Nepal. That's
yes.
a new country for us, man. We worldwide, baby. Up. Don't sleep on Crosstalk. We are
y'all
international, baby.
Y'all better not.
I'm Steph Swig.
I'm Big Pudge.
Crosstalk
Radio. Peace.